Which will finish with negative aspects of social media for the believer, which will then intertwine with solutions for those negative aspects for the believer. And then finally, we'll have the best practices for using social media for any person. So without further ado, Chiamaka will start us off.
Good morning, everyone. So let's just jump right into it. What is social media and why is it so useful to us today? So social media is basically a network of platforms that help us share content and communicate with those around us. So some popular platforms are Facebook. Facebook is actually the most popular platform. Over 1 billion people use this platform. You can use this to share articles, share life events, share pictures and videos, and it's very useful for businesses as well. The next popular platform is Twitter, and that's a microblogging site which limits your posts to 140 characters, and those posts are called tweets. So Twitter is especially useful for getting a large amount of information in such a short amount of time because you can just tweet over a span of 30 seconds, you know, or just continually tweet. It's not socially frowned upon to post a lot on Twitter. Another good platform, especially for the visual artists or people who are interested in showcasing their products, is Instagram. I know a lot of makeup artists use this platform, photographers, people who sell goods. Instagram is a great way to engage your audience through pictures. And it's also used by the average person who just likes to have fun and post pictures. Another good platform is LinkedIn, and that's more business oriented, that's more professional. You can use that to connect with people in your field or connect with people in your field of interest. And on the other hand, if you're an employer, you can use it to screen and recruit employees as well. And the last one I feel like I shouldn't explain because 99% of the church probably has this app, WhatsApp. It's a free messaging app, and you can call abroad, you can send text messages, you can also video chat with people using this app for free, as long as you're on Wi-Fi and not using your cellular data. So before I continue, so we have some stats. So there are 2.3 billion active social media users, and social media users have increased by 176 million users in the past year. And that can be due to like expansions in getting access to internet and also in the introduction of new apps. Also, 92% of teens report going online daily, and nearly 75% of adults report that they have a social media account. So you can see that this is a very useful and prevalent way of communication. So our next slide, I actually wanted to give a survey. I ask you, how many people are on social media? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand high and proud. Really high. Okay. Now, of the people, no, keep your hand up. I'm still asking you some questions. So keep your hand up if you have one social media account. Keep your hand up if you have two. Three. Okay. Four. Five. Six. Should I say seven? Moses, why is your hand up? But that is actually considered the average. In fact, a new study last year, they concluded that internet users have an average of 6 social media accounts. And if you break it down by age, if you're in the age bracket from 16 to 24 and 24 to 30, the average user in that age bracket has about 7 social media accounts. And if you get a little older, it ranges from 3 to 5. So social media does play a big part in our day-to-day lives.
Personally, especially for young people, young adults, and people in high school and college, social media has been very effective for completing group projects at school. So I can't tell you the amount of times where I've had a group presentation with 3 to 4 or 5 other people, and we're able to seamlessly communicate with one another even though we're not in the same place. So I can talk to my fellow group members and, you know, exchange ideas from the comfort of my own dorm room or, you know, from my house, and we can still get the project done effectively. And nowadays there's social media such as Google Slides, where you, more than one person can work on a presentation remotely and still, and everybody can see the updates and the changes that people are making. So it makes it very easy. We actually use Google Slides to make this presentation today. Another positive use is that it allows us to conveniently distribute information to one another. And that goes for a large or small audience. Say you wanted to plan a surprise party for your friends, and you wanted to keep it under wraps, but still, you know, get all the right details out to everyone. You can simply get on Facebook, create a Facebook group, and inform one another, and inform the other people that you want to invite about how to execute the party. Or let's say you have a wedding announcement or graduation announcement. A lot of times people use, you know, Facebook or WhatsApp or Twitter to make that announcement, and they're able to get a large amount of information to people easily and seamlessly. As far as for a large audience, almost all politicians these days use social media. Even our presidential nominees, they're aggressively using social media to campaign, to rally support for their causes. Why? Because they know that, just like everybody raised their hand, they know that a large amount of people use social media on a daily basis, and it's easiest to get their causes out and have a lot of people hear what they have to say in a short amount of time. A third positive reason is that it allows us to raise awareness. So I know a lot of young people. Personally, I learn a lot of news from social media, as opposed to, you know, having to switch on the news or open a newspaper. A lot of us learned about the tragedies in France firsthand from social media, or, you know, the earthquake in Nepal, like all the different things that are happening around the world, the presidential race updates. All those things we learn from, you know, logging into Twitter or checking out Facebook or, you know, even Snapchat. Also, in terms of raising awareness, on a more practical entertainment side, I know a lot of people learn a lot from social media, not in terms of just news, but even just learning novel things. For example, a lot of girls go on YouTube and check out makeup tutorials, and that's how we learn how to do different styles. People learn how to do hair. People learn different recipes from logging on to different social media platforms and learning new things. A fourth positive reason is that it allows us to network and meet new people. As Shyamaka mentioned, there's LinkedIn, which is that professional website where you're able to meet new people, see people that went to your school, see people that are at your company, learn about people that are in different places that you would like to be, and it's a perfect opportunity for career advancement. And finally, people like to use social media, especially young people, just for entertainment. You know, there's lots of funny things like videos, dance videos, funny comics or pictures or memes, things of that nature that people use to be entertained by social media.
So we're gonna talk about other positive uses of social media. One thing that Chidera mentioned is like career advancement, employment, like networking with people. So LinkedIn is like a platform that you can use if you have been to a career fair or a job fair and you want to connect with those people in the same area of your interest. You can do so on LinkedIn. And people also post job opportunities on LinkedIn. So that's a great place to, you know, put yourself out there if you're interested in, you know, like healthcare, like financial planning, or like, you know, whatever it is that your interest is in. Also, like for business ventures and marketing, I know a lot of people here are into business. The other week or something, we had like a showcase of people's businesses. So social media is also like a great place to showcase what your business is about, what services you're providing for people. You can, you know, your friends are already there so that they can talk about your services to their friends. And you have many people who are like, oh, wow, like, you're really into this, like, you know, shipping cars, or, you know, you're into, like, making cards, whatever it is. Like, social media can actually propel your business forward. Also, for customer service, you can use that, like, if you're, you know, expanding your business. You know, like, instead of having your customers call in, you know, and get a representative, you can actually have a platform where they can, you know, chat with somebody who is helping you in your business, so that they can, you know, like, talk. You can talk about your products if they're asking about the products, or you can also receive criticisms of what you can do better, you know, so like that your business can grow. And most of all, next slide. And of course, evangelism, we're all believers here, right? I believe so. So Christ calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, like when you're sitting here or you're in your own little town or whatever it is, you can't really go abroad and like talk to people in Iraq or Afghanistan or like, you know, but like social media makes it a bit like a great place to reach people in other countries. And you know, like that's what we're called to do. So it's a beautiful thing to like spread the gospel of peace to people who don't know Jesus. You're bringing hope and light through what you post online. And also a great scripture said, 1 Peter 3:15 to 16 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed." So like you get to interact with people of other religions, right? So like you have to always be ready to give an account. Like, why do you believe what you believe?
Thank you, Adana. Now, of course, with all of the positive aspects of social media, there are going to be a handful of negative aspects. So the first group of people is for any person using social media. One of the main negative aspects is that it can jeopardize one's reputation. So I can't tell you the amount of times that I've seen somebody or heard stories about somebody posting something indecent, inappropriate, unwise, or controversial that ends up compromising their employment, getting them their employment opportunities, gets them fired from their job, affects their college applications, ruins their public image, or in the worst cases, it can ruin their life. Secondly, it can distract us from our priorities. We know that social media, just from how everybody raised their hands, we each have at least 3 or 4 social media platforms a person. And with that, probably has us investing a lot of time and a lot of energy into using these social media platforms. And in turn, that can distract us and cause us to delay or postpone our schoolwork, our productivity at work, our planning, our responsibilities, and our chores. And this happens with people of all ages, not young people. And the third negative aspect is that it can create an inability for us to connect with one another and communicate with people in real lives. I've talked to friends that, you know, have perhaps they like maintain a relationship with an old friend or something online. They chat with them or on Facebook and things like that. And when they see them in person, they don't even feel comfortable really speaking with them. Why? Because they're used to sustaining that relationship online. And while we talked about that being a positive aspect, so you can still stay connected, it can also be negative because you don't want that to limit your ability to actually relate with people in real life. It also uses up all of our time, which also can help prevent us from connecting with one another, especially in a family setting. For example, sitting around a dinner table or, you know, at a family event and everybody's on their phones or everybody's, you know, plugged into their iPads or what have you. And yeah. So I have an image here of 2 different headlines going back to what I talked about social media ruining people's lives or their reputation. So there was a teacher, an elementary school teacher, a middle school teacher in Colorado, who was actually fired because she was posting inappropriate pictures of herself, posting racy things about her students, speaking about them in an ill manner, and also posting pictures of herself scantily clad, wearing suggestive material, smoking marijuana, and you know, school officials found it, and she was fired. And you know, when you're laid off from your job, that ruins your future job prospects. And you know, she lost a lot of respect in her community, and now she's disgraced. On the bottom, this is somebody that is a high profile. We had a White House staffer, her name is Elizabeth Lawton, who thought she was just casually logging on to Facebook, saw a picture of the Obama sisters. I think they didn't seem very excited or something at a White House event. And she was, you know, writing stuff like, you should have a little more class. And, you know, she was a Republican, so she didn't really like the Obamas in the first place, and saying that, you know, you should have a little more class, or, and your parents, you don't respect yourself, you don't respect your parents, things like that. And the White House, of course, found out because she posted this on Facebook and it was public, and she had to resign because she was disgraced. And you can't be working in the White House and saying things and insulting, you know, the president's daughters. The next image is kind of a funny image. I don't know if you guys can read it, but it's the person at work, and they're talking to, I guess, their coworker or their boss, saying, as soon as I text, IM, tweet, and update my status, I'll get right down to it. And to getting right down to it, I'll get right down to it. So that's an example of how people can be distracted and place priority, and prioritize social media and prioritize logging in and updating their status to actually facing their responsibilities in real life. And then the last image is an image we're probably all familiar with. We have a family sitting around the dinner table, and we have the kids that are, you know, on their phones, the dad on the TV, the mom on her phone, and, you know, they're what's supposed to be a quality time for people to bond with one another is people being plugged into their devices and, you know, checking probably social media, and then that creates a barrier for them to be able to connect with one another and have, you know, meaningful conversation.
So other negative aspects of social media, specifically for young children and teens, you have that possibility to be exposed to inappropriate content online. There can be possible breaches in privacy and security if you do not protect yourself or your computer, and cyberbullying, which is an issue that is very prevalent in America. If we go to the next slide, and those who don't know what cyberbullying is using information systems, is using online platforms to target a person with harmful and very negative content. So one statistic that really jumped out to me was the one on the bottom right corner. And it says 10% of parents are aware their teens are targets of cyberbullying. And I feel that with this, it should encourage an open discussion about internet use, no matter the age, within your family, how to conduct yourself on the internet, and how to just basically use the tenet of respect and Christian values. How you conduct yourself in church, in public, and online, they should be aligned as well. So other negative aspects for teens and young adults, we can grow addicted to social media, not to the fact that we say, oh, I'm addicted to social media. It becomes a habit. When you do something enough times, you can grow dependent on it, and it becomes a habit. For example, I love Snapchat. I think it's a great platform, but when you go to events, you really don't have to Snapchat everything. It's okay. You don't have to take a picture of every single corner of the hall that you're in. In that, we can also create a false representation of ourselves. We can have a warped perspective of reality. On social media, it gives us the ability to portray a different persona. So someone online could be like the cool person, or very loud and obnoxious, or and then when you meet them in person, they're a completely different person. It could also encourage self-esteem issues. While social media is great to showcase yourself and showcase your talent, it can get to a point where you're just doing things for likes and retweets, when you're craving the affection or the affirmation of your peers. It can grow into an obsession with other people's lives. Like I said before, it wouldn't be explicit, like I am obsessed with this person's life. But when you do something enough time without restraint, it becomes a habit. And it can also make us feel inadequate. As we're going to explain later on in the presentation, social media does present, like I said before, a warped view of reality, and you can see people's accomplishments, and that you're tempted, then you become tempted to compare yourself to that one person without actually knowing the background, the actual background story and journey of that person.
So I'm gonna talk about the negative aspects of social media for the believer. And we're gonna go in depth about like all these things we're listing for the believer. But the first one is that our social media image can contradict our identity in Christ. You know, you don't want to portray something that is contrary to what God has already made you online. And also, it can create a lack of restraint in that, like, you're spending so much time that you don't have time to spend with God. And we know that we're created to worship God. So, like, we need to prioritize our time with God over, like, the time we spend on social media. And also, like, lack of privacy in that, like, you feel the need to post every single thing about your life. So everybody online knows every single thing that's going on in your life. If you ate, if you drank, if you, it's like, it's always on social media. So like, you know, that creates lack of privacy. You don't want, sometimes you need to keep some things private. And then also numbs us to the power of our words. Our words are powerful. So like when we speak, we have to be careful of what we say online as well. And then whose image are you bearing? You know, sometimes who we are on social media does not align with who we are in Christ. You know, sometimes like we may post comments that are worldly and do not align with Christian views. And you see that like there are people like out there who are non-believers, and what you post actually makes an impact in their lives. So you have to be careful what you're writing out there. Like you want it to push people to get to know Jesus. Also posting risque like or compromising photos of yourself, sexually suggestive, you know, drug or alcohol use, inappropriate gestures. I know a lot of people do that, like regardless of your faith, because they want affirmation from their peers. And you have to realize that your peers are not greater than God as well. Speaking poorly or inappropriately about your boss, your coworker, your friends, the people around you, you know, like the example that Chidera mentioned, you know, like the person that got fired at the school, the teacher that got fired, is a problem when you're posting all these things about your boss. They will find out. And also being negative, harsh, or mean to other people on social media. Our words are supposed to encourage. And then going to the solutions of how we can combat some of these negative aspects, right, is that like we should write or post things that will encourage other people. In Ephesians, I think it says like we should edify the church, you know, and a plug for social media ministry, you know, like that's what we're doing online, you know, in that we're encouraging people. We don't know who the people who are reading it, but we are encouraging people online to get to know that there is joy in Christ, there is peace in Christ. That they don't have to live a life that is empty, you know? And also, like, we should know that we have a new nature. The nature that we have in Christ shows us that we are no longer our old self. That old nature has been taken off. So, like, if we're living in Christ, we're living his life, no longer our lives or our feelings or, you know, like, what we think we should do is what we think he wants us to do, you know, like, according to the scriptures, the word of God. And Colossians 3:16 says is the best. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And also Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So what you're thinking in your heart is what comes out in what you write online. And also Galatians 2:20, which is my favorite scripture, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live is by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself up for me. So if we're living his life, we should portray that in what we're saying.
Okay, so the second negative aspect for the believer is that it can create a lack of restraint. And what does that look like? Well, there's two manifestations of this lack of restraint. The first one is that people can allow it to become their idol. And we know that Leviticus 26 verse 1 tells us, do not make idols. So what does that look like? We become consumed with what is happening online. We are consistently posting and checking and looking and seeking and investing copious amounts of time and energy into our social media that we could be using towards God. In turn, that ends up displacing our time with God. And Luke 9 verse 25 tells us, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost and destroyed? So, you know, you can be the hot cake, as my mom likes to say, on social media. You can, you know, you can be very popular. It can be one of your favorite things to do. But if you're spending all of your time doing this and you're not, you know, investing that in your walk with Christ, what did you really gain?
The second manifestation of this lack of restraint is that you, as Chiamaka sort of hinted towards before, you start to have a dependence. I call it a broadcast fiend. And that person is somebody that feels the need to put every single event, every single occurrence, and every single personal conflict on social media. And this is something that is very, very unwise, especially for personal conflicts, because if you're having an issue with, let's say, a friend or a loved one, and of course for Family Month, having an issue with a family member, let's say you're disagreeing with your parents, or you get into a fight with your siblings, don't be quick to rush on social media and vent, you know, let people know, oh, I can't stand my mother, or oh, this person did this person wronged me that. Because why? When you have the time to cool down later on, you're most likely going to regret posting that. And of course, when you post those things on social media, you start to invite discord into your life and scrutiny into your life. So people start to, not like, let's say somebody that you love, even if they don't see what you have written, it still starts to bring that spirit of discord with you. And then that the scrutiny comes when people start to look at you. You're posting every day, or you're posting once in a while, oh, I'm having this issue with this person, or I can't stand this person. And people start to look at you, and they're seeing that, okay, there's problems over here, so let me stay away. Or they want to come and start giving you advice or telling you how to live your life, because why? You broadcasted all of your issues online. So we have to be careful that to not have a lack of restraint when it comes to, one, how much time we spend on social media, and what content we're posting on social media. Because it just creates for a compromise. So how do we resolve this lack of restraint? Well, first of all, we just need to ask God for help and give us a desire to spend time with him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added onto you." So what's that saying? Saying that we need to seek God first, make him your priority, so that the blessings in your life will be abundant. There's not much you can gain from social media. There's much you can accomplish on social media, but as far as for your spiritual life, there's not too much to gain. Outside of, you know, investing your time in Christ. Don't seek social media first, seek God first. Secondly, James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Simply put, we must make an active effort to invest our time in God so that in turn we can strengthen our relationship with him, strengthen our walk with him, which ultimately, like I said, is the most important thing, far more important than any social media post or any social media platform, and far more important than anything that we post or any picture that we see online. We must also have accountability partners who can caution your overspending time on social media. As the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, and you can have a good friend of yours tell you, hey, listen, put down your phone, like, talk to me, like, let's do something else. Or if you're posting, let's say if you're venting about something, you know, take the time to think about a conflict that you're having, let's say in the family or with a friend, and maybe talk to somebody that you love and respect and you trust, and then most times you're not going to be tempted to then run on social media and write something hastily that you'll end up regretting later. We also recommend that people resolve conflicts directly. Like I said, besides from talking to somebody that you trust and someone that you love and admire, go to the person that you had a conflict with. We've been talking about affirmation. We've been talking about conflict resolution in the past couple of weeks. So don't feel ashamed, or don't feel scared or embarrassed or whatever it is, to go face the person that you're having an issue with, and you're more likely going to make the right decision if you do that. Another thing to do is to learn to keep certain aspects of your life private and sacred. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." So there's a time for social media. There's a time for posting, you know, beautiful things that happen in your life. You know, wedding announcements. People make. I know Sandra has a beautiful wedding website. You know, you can post all kinds of things, but you know, you don't have to post absolutely everything you do. Not every single meal that you eat, not every single person that you're hanging out with, because for one, like I said, it invites scrutiny into your life, and secondly, you know, you might be infringing on somebody's privacy without even knowing it by, you know, posting absolutely everything that you're doing, everything around you. Another point is that we should bear fruit that would lead people to Christ.
John 15, verse 4 through 5 tells us, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Far apart from me, you can do nothing. So in other words, use social media positively. Don't invest all of your time in it. Instead, invest your time into bearing fruit for Christ. And finally, we encourage everybody to, even if you're on social media, it's not all bad. Replay your day at the end of every night and reflect on what did you do to improve yourself that day. If you can't answer that question, then you probably need to reassess things, including how you use social media. If you ask yourself, hey, how did I use social media today to better myself or to better someone else or to strengthen my relationship with Christ, if you can't answer those with anything good, then you need to reassess how you're using social media.
But for the sake of time, and we want to give you an opportunity to ask questions later, I'm just going to run through my slides. So social media numbs us to the power of our words. Social media makes us quick to speak, which is something God does not recommend that we adopt, that notion of being quick to speak. So written language, especially internet slang, can create an informal and hasty conversation. We are prone to misinterpret emotion, demeanor, body language, and other communicative nuances that are not discernible through social media. So because social media is usually about instant gratification, speaking without consequences, being the first to comment and to share an opinion, we can lose sight of actually using our words with wisdom. We can easily say irresponsible and careless things when we're angry, when we're upset, and especially during this time that we're talking about sensitive topics, when we're personally affected by these topics. So solutions, we got our solutions from James 1, 19 to 20, which says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires." Also, Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So this doesn't mean that we cannot engage in thoughtful discussion. God has blessed us with wisdom. God has blessed us with intelligence. But we should understand that our words are powerful and they can affirm or destroy another person. You can engage in very intellectual and thoughtful discussion, but approach is key. One thing you can do is communicate clearly. Like we said, social media, it's hard to discern emotion and body language. List out what exactly you're saying. If you get a comment that rubs you the wrong way, you can ask questions. You can say, oh, what do you mean by that? I don't understand what you mean by this and this and this. And usually the person doesn't really know what they're talking about because they're also responding hastily. But it gives both people a chance to step back and actually think about what they're posting. You can privately message the person with your corrections. As Chidera and Adana have said, it's better to confront this one-on-one, especially when it's within your family. No one needs to see your family business online. Make sure you can just sit together, or if that's not possible, call the person up and actually resolve your issue and seek clarity. You can go to other people for advice when it comes to a certain issue, and then using the wisdom of God, using the knowledge of God, we can use the knowledge of God to apply that situation in our life. At the end of the day, we are Christ's ambassadors, we are Christ's representatives, and we should reflect that in our speech and in our walk, and especially in our use, in our social media presence as well, so.
Okay, so now we've talked about all the negative aspects and the negative aspects for believers and the following solutions. So now we're just going to talk about some general best practices for different groups. So best practices for parents of young children. We recommend that you monitor your children when they use the web. And while that may be obvious and bad sites may be obvious, those that are, you know, violent, sexually suggestive, things of that nature, there's also
Kids are less likely to do those things than to make the more subtle mistakes, such as, you know, being involved with cyberbullying or being the victims or perpetrators of cyberbullying, which is something that we're probably not paying much attention to, as opposed to, like, you know, them visiting a bad site. There's also the issue of releasing private information that can compromise your privacy and your security. So make sure you, you know, explicitly instruct your children to never post their address, you know, where they're going to elementary school, you know, just personal information like that, even their last name, until they reach a certain age where they're more aware of their surroundings, more aware of how social media works. Then, you know, I mean, things like Facebook, you know, you post what college you're at, maybe, or an event that you went to. But you can also change their privacy settings. You can go onto their social media sites, change their privacy settings so that only family members or only people or friends that they know and trust can see your, you know, what it is that they're posting, as opposed to just the general public. And then, of course, when they reach a certain age and they can make a decision for themselves, then, you know, you can go ahead and let up the reins a little bit. Also, make sure that you're explaining why. And being very explicit with your with explaining dangers and warnings. Don't just say, like, don't go on it, because like we discussed before, if you're just, you know, badgering them or just scolding them, they're more likely gonna want to go hide and go on these things, you know? So tell them that it's not good for them. Tell them that it's a danger to them. Tell them that it's harmful to them or their Christian life, what have you. And also talk to them with love and respect. If you're gonna be on the same social media platforms as your kids, like I said, if you don't want them to go running and hiding or, you know, trying to do all kinds of things under the radar, you know, get on the same social media sites, but don't try to spy on them or heckle them. Because 9 times out of 10, your kids will find out if you're trying to spy on them. Like, they're probably a little more savvy on social media, and they're gonna figure it out. So, you know, everything you do, do it with transparency. Also, there's the option of setting parental controls on different web browsers. Every single web browser has this capability. You can set parental controls even on apps if you let your kids use your iPad or if they have their own or their iPhones. Set parental controls so that they won't be tempted or they don't accidentally end up on the wrong kinds of websites. And of course, it's always important to limit screen time. You know, it's great to plug into social media, but kids can go outside, you know, play board games, use coloring books, do things that, you know, stimulate their intellectual development, have them read books, etc.
So best practices for teens and college students. I know, like, self-control apps is a huge thing. When we're in college, Amaka actually used self-control app to limit her time on social media so she can focus on her studies. And also, you can delete the apps that you have on your phone for a week. Try it, you know, like, you never know. Like, it might help you. Okay. And then also encourage accountability amongst your friends.
So one last thing, we wanna give you all a reality check. Social media is an excellent resource if you use it wisely. You can use it to improve your personal brand and your business brand. Understand that social media is user controlled, that it's rare that people post their struggles and their failures online, and that everyone's journey, including yours, is different. God has set you on a different path, and he knows where he's taking you. So continue to look to him for affirmation, and he will continue to guide you. And the third one, quickly, unplug. As Adana has said, the time that you spend on social media can be used to invest in your God-given talents or actually discover a new talent. So thank you for listening and joining us. We're going to open this up for question and answer.
Praise God. So let's give them a round of applause. Okay, I'm going to just introduce the topic back. And if you have any question, I didn't stop them right away, because the questions we're going to be asking them is what they're telling us. So this is actually a teaching moment for us. So we are talking about social media. And before we started, you know, they dealt with the good, the bad, and the ugly. So before we started, I asked everybody to fasten their seatbelt so that we can go to their world. So parents, if you don't know that there's another world out there, today we now know, right? So if we think that this world is really bad, things are happening every day in our lives. It is happening double in their own life. So let's not make any mistake and push it under the carpet. They have talked to us about what their life is like. So it's for us now to ask questions and to encourage them when there's something going on. So I have a question, and this question, we're not pointing fingers at our teenagers and our youth, and we know they're doing it. Almost every teenager here is doing it. If you're not doing it, praise God for you. If you're doing it, please understand that you're in God's presence. If you can respect your teacher or your principal, please, when you come here, respect God, okay? So I'm going to ask this question, and then I'm sure they've given us the answer, but they'll give us another a better answer. It says, how can we as church family correct our youth who we see using social media while sermon is going on in the church? I'm going to add why praise worship, why everything is going on in the church. How do we correct them? I mean, if you have anything as parents, you can say it. If your children are doing it, you can still say it, but correct them at home.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right, if you notice that your child is using social media, and I believe that they are using it with their phones, just take the phone away from them. You know, that's how I will fix it.
What about the age? If they're in their 20s or 19s and 18s, how do you take the phone away from them?
It depends on who's paying the bill. If I'm paying the bill, then I won't pay that bill anymore. Then, I mean, America said that when you are older than 18, you can do whatever you want. So in that case, I might not have violated the law. So, but I won't be, supporting that by paying that bill. So I'm going to, if I'm the one that bought the phone, I'm going to take that phone and I'll stop paying the bill. Then if you want, go and buy your own phone and continue doing what you're doing. But I'll always be telling you the truth. Like my mom always tell us, she will say, if you are too old enough to do whatever you want to do, then leave my house. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, my brother. I heard what you said, but you know I'm a mother of three boys. I'll tell you one thing. When you take it from them, they have friends here. They will take it from them. But the main thing for me is to speak. You know, we have to keep talking to these kids. You know, we may not have the result in one day, but just let's keep telling them that this is wrong. Because for me, you know, sometimes I know some of my boys do that. And when we are going home, especially like when we have the Bible studies on Thursdays, I ask them, what did the pastor preach about? There you know who was listening and who wasn't listening. And from there, sometimes I also tell the ushers, when you see that, let me know, you know, so that you can just keep telling them that this is wrong. Because they can't get to anywhere by doing that while the sermon is going on. Praise God.
Okay, I have an answer. These are very good points that were made. I just want to say that, you know, people of all ages, be it kids, small kids or teenagers, young adults, everybody responds very well to empowerment as opposed to just scolding. So if you let them, say if you tell them in encouragement and love, hey, try this next Sunday to turn off your phone and just let me know what happens. Just let me know how you feel. You know, instead of like when they're at church, tell them, hey, listen, let's all turn off our phones during service. And then just give me your just give me your thoughts after service. Most likely going to do it because, you know, they have nothing really to lose. And, you know, if they talk about it, they'll probably be more empowered to continue doing that. Why? Because they weren't yelled at or scolded to or berated for, you know, having their phones on, but rather they made what seems to them like a grown-up decision to go ahead and make that choice. And they're most likely going to adhere to that because they feel empowered to do so.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. we've gotten to the point now in America when right is wrong and wrong is right. We negotiate everything. We negotiate everything. Those of you who went to Ivy League schools, I did not go to an Ivy League school, but I went to good, very good schools. We are Africans. The way we raise kids are different from the way, big man, kill the mic for me. The way white folks raise kids. There are certain things that are inherent with us. We are not saying you should kill the kids, disgrace them, yell, or mistreat them. But call a spade a spade. Don't call it a teaspoon and oil, if I'm an implement. Wrong is wrong, right is right. Even here, there are people in their 30s. When the pastor is preaching, they are using the cell phones.
Even adults.
We understand, even adults. What I do, Pastor Chuka is not here. All the time, when he looks at me, I look at him, we make eye contact. We'll go to the bathroom. 6, 7, 8, 10 kids, we are talking to them to put away their cell phones. Now, ushers, may God bless you richly. We like what you do. But we need you now to be much more proactive and be open-minded. There are people who wronged you in the past. Parents who went and spoke to the ushers in a bad manner. The ushers are still bearing grudges. When they see your kids using the cell phone, they don't intervene because they are scared. Their mother will corner them in the kitchen and start disrespecting them. That's the issue going on in this church. So we need to fix it. Amen?
Okay, everybody, just make your questions snappy because we don't have any time. We usually have more time on Thursdays.
Praise the Lord. Kids, I want to know, the phone is...
Okay, can we just pray for the offering, please?
I want to ask the kids, how to handle the addictiveness of the phone. Like people are addicted to the phone while they are walking. They are doing something on the phone. Most of the time I had to stop my car in order not to kill somebody that is using the phone on the road. I'm asking this question to the kids. How can we stop it?
I'm just going to tie in the other question with this question that you asked. We have to realize that sometimes what we feel is the best way to approach our kid might not actually be the best way. Everybody is different. God created us uniquely. We all, respond to, things that people say in a different way. So we have to go, parents have to go back to God and ask God, what is the best way that I can approach my kid? What is the best way that he can actually listen or she can actually listen to what I'm saying? And also, the problem is deeper than just, them using the phone. The problem is, they don't actually know Christ. They don't have that desire to listen to what the Word of God is saying. So, you have to go back and say, God, I need you to give my child a passion for you. Because if they have a passion for Christ, then they'll be more willing to listen to something that can be life-changing for them. So, it's beyond just legalistically saying, these are the things that you can do, 1, 2, 3. Because people can't actually do it by their own power. Because if you're addicted to something, people are addicted to drugs. They can't change themselves. They've been trying. They'll go to rehab. They come out. They go back. If they encounter Jesus, there is a life-changing experience that happens. So,
praise God. Okay, I'm going to say something. We talk about drugs and alcohol, right? And none of us will agree that, we don't take drugs by God's grace and we're not doing alcohol. Do we know that in medical field, social media is now diagnosed? It is a diagnosis that they give people as addictive. So when you call drugs, when you call alcohol, you put social media there. So if you are overdoing it, you need help. So you need to get a rehab, like drug addicts get rehabs. Yes, I'm not making it up. So it is, it's a problem. So you make sure that you're going to help yourself to come out of it. Now, I'm going to say something about this testing. You know, can all the teenagers, all the mothers, for everybody in this church, can you please show me by raising your hand, Pastor, if you don't mind, how many of us want to be testing and doing social media while the service is going on? Who wants to do it? How many of us want to do it? So we don't want to do it. So now, Pastor, if you don't mind, parents, talk to your kids. But if you're sitting next to anybody that is doing it, we will give you the permission to get the phone and give it to the pastor. If the child refuses, let them submit their phone to the pastors. Okay, because we need to help ourselves. And parents, if you're not telling them the need to come to church, if you're just bringing them to church because Sundays we go to church, we have to do better. Talk to your kids. Like my daughter said, you know, you can be hot cake in the world. You know, Romans 12:2 said we should not conform. I tell them, you can conform with them, do all you want to do, let the whole world know you. If you don't know the little Christ, if you don't know Christ, you're wasting your time. So I always tell my kids. So can we start talking to our kids?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My own is just to say that this question shouldn't, I don't want us to think this is just youth. And the response is just for the youth. Everybody. This is for everybody. Because we focus a lot on the youth, children, and all that. And we forget that, okay, somebody answer, take the phone. What do you take the phone from adult?
So we need to
know that this question and the responses that we got is not only for children or the youth. It's for us all as a church. Let's take it simple like that. So your adult, if you don't want angel to take your phone away, since nobody can take it, put it away yourself. This is not just for youth.
Sorry, time up. So what we're going to do is please write all your questions, and then we'll probably talk to the pastors, or Pastor Uche will tell us how to. Or you come to family forum, we'll answer it in the family forum.
Praise the Lord. Mine is a comment on what we were saying. We're talking about the phone and the texting. I just want to use this opportunity to raise this point that if for any reason you come late to church and you sit from this pillar behind, it's like you're not in church. You can hear. It's like a marketplace. People are just talking. You will be forcing yourself to hear. And that's why, no matter what happens, I want to sit in the front. If you sit beyond this pillar, it's like you're not in church. So as we are talking about social media, can we also talk that when we walk in here, we came in to meet with the Lord, and we should be focused and allow other people. If you're not interested in the topic that is being preached, allow another person to hear it. Praise the Lord.
One minute.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I just want to draw the attention to, it's been already mentioned, that the problem is a compulsive behavior. And if it's not abated, if it is not attended to right away, it becomes a real problem. Then it becomes addictive. And I just want to draw the attention to a situation where a young kid, 8 years old, received received it for a present, but then just got preoccupied with this thing, got hooked on it. In the middle of the night, he's playing with this thing. And then at school, he will sneak it into his bag and go to school and continue to play with it. And so it becomes a real problem. So just to recap on this idea that it is not just the youth, it's children as well. And it's a lot of work for the parents, so that the parents need to gear up, you know, to really help their kids. They are kids. But then we are adults. So then the adults are the ones to help the kids control their behavior. Thank you.
1 minute.
Yeah, everything is already said. So to cap it all, you know, like my sister mentioned, we need to grow. You know, the parent should, you know, be an example to their children, because when we grow to know Christ and learn to honor him, not only when we come to church, in our houses, wherever we are, we carry the presence of God. When, you know, we desire to fellowship with Christ, we will discipline ourselves to put off whatever would distract us, you know, from hearing what he has to say from, you know, to us, and focus and hear, because whatever God is telling us, he, you know, will save us, is better than what anybody else would tell us. You know, one day I came, you know, to church very early, and, you know, I knelt down here to pray. And I couldn't stay on my feet, just me by myself. That encounter alone, you know, was a turning point for me. You know, when you have this encounter with Christ, you know, whenever you come to church, nobody, you know, needs to tell you before you turn your phone off and focus. If you have responsibility, things to do, nobody, you don't need anybody to push you. Amen. So when we grow, you know, we'll be an example to our kids, and also we'll pray for God to give them that encounter, that desire to pursue him and avoiding every distraction. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I have a question that has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, but it's about write it down.
No. We're taking comments. We have only 4 minutes. Well, if you have a question, please write it down and come to Family Forum. We'll answer it there. We want comment.
Okay. This has already been stated, so I'll just hit the point again because I think it's an important point. Paul had mentioned it, one of the panelists, Adana, had mentioned it, you know, and it's kind of similar to, if you look at it from a general perspective, like our society today, when it comes to, I use this as an example, gun control. They're thinking that we should create different kind of laws to improve gun control. It's not really an issue of creating laws of do's and don'ts to stop the gun control, the gun violence. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of what's going on within the spirit, you know? So the questions have been raised about what do we do with youths or adults or whoever is using their phones on social media during the sermon or during praise and worship. It's a matter of praying for our children, praying for ourselves, that we have that desire, that yearning to grow in our spirit, to come to know Christ more. I know for me personally, when I came to this church for the first time, the word that was coming from the pulpit was so powerful. Man, I would rush to come to church. My phone, I would put it on silent. You know, I did all these things because I had that inner desire. You know, I didn't always have that inner desire to know the word, to know Christ as much as I do now. So, you know, for those who are still growing, you know, we should be praying for them that we have that yearning, just as Paul had mentioned. We have that yearning, that desire to encounter Christ, to really know him personally, you know, so that playing with your phone, that's you'll even have the Spirit of God will give you that. What's the word? You know, that ability to just put the phone down. You won't even want to look at it. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to, let me just veer off from what we're talking about, to talk about what you said about social media. Most people think that when you post something online and delete it, that it's gone. It's not. I happen to work in an association where we can look you up anytime, any day. And if I tell you what we see, what people post, you won't believe it. People post things that will put them in jail, and some people are in jail because of that. So, and I've said it before, long time ago, don't Don't post things that will compromise your future, because, and you will think that you have a password. There's nothing like that. I can log into your Facebook, whatever you call it, in my office computer, and I will look you up from how many years you've been there and what you've done. So your pictures you post there, you say you deleted it, it's still there. The email you sent, the picture you sent from your bathroom to somebody can be pulled in 10 years, and that will cost you a lot. So when you post something, that thing you know you're posting that you don't want your friend to see or your parents not to see, don't post it, because it's there. Praise the Lord.
Hey, praise the Lord. Okay, so because it's family month, I want to take it back to parents also. The fact that parents need to agree in this thing, because we see how serious it is. And if you find out, like so many other things, that one parent is pushing something and the other parent is nonchalant and thinks the other has got it, that's how it won't work. Because if we want to deal with this and start at home, the point is that both parents need to understand how the depth of this thing and work well together. Because if one parent pushes any situation at home and the other one is like here, the kid will not respond. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to quickly say something. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he will go. So when he grows up, he will never depart from it. A lot of things that we also see is that little kids, no matter how little they are, some parents think the way to keep them quiet is to give them iPads in the church or give them phone, and they play on these things. When they grow up, that's exactly what they're going to do. So when you come with a child to the church, it's not okay to give that child, no matter how little that child is, iPad or whatever, to play in the church. Because what you're doing, you're setting that child up. When they grow up, they think when we come to church, that's what we do. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. I wanted to talk about handling teenagers and these things. Like Sister Happiness' daughter said, I'm sorry, I don't know her name. Sometimes, you know, you need to talk to your children in a respectful manner. Because all of us grew up, we were once teenagers. And I remember how my parents raised me. I remember when they were beating me. I remember, first of all, I was scared. It got to a point I was rebellious. Then my father started talking to me. And I recall that when he started sitting me down and talking to me, I listened more at that time. So there's, you know, the teenage year, they are very rebellious. And if we all recall, during those times, we are rebellious. But if you sit them down and talk to them, even though they pretend they don't listen, they actually listen. That's what I'm trying to point out. Praise the Lord.
Okay, our time is up. If you have questions, please give them to me and come to Family Forum. Then in conclusion, the scripture said our people perish for lack of knowledge. And the world said that knowledge is power. Now we've been impacted with knowledge and power. If we don't, you know, implement it, it's powerless. If we don't implement it, it's lack of knowledge. So a word is enough for a wife. Parents, choose the right thing. Children, choose the right thing. Adults, choose the right thing. God bless all of you.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.